Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, July 2nd, 2020. Coming up this hour.
The surge in coronavirus infections continues across the South.
California hits pause on indoor business in most of the state.
McDonald's and Apple roll back reopening plans.
And Wall Street awaits monthly jobs data that may already be outdated.
Dining in New York City restaurants is officially on hold, while New Jersey sounds the alarm about a sudden uptick in cases. I'm Amy Morris. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The NFL has cut the preseason in half, and we'll hear from Aaron Boone, his Yankees back together again.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Haker. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by SEI. Crises bring out the best in people, character, community, partnership. Together as one, SEI. Go to seic.com/IMS.
And U.S. futures are gaining ahead of the monthly payrolls report, 501 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 20 points, Dow futures up 226, NASDAQ futures up 50. The DAX in Germany is up 2%. 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.4% or 15 cents at $39.97 a barrel, and COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $2.90. Cents at $17.82.80 an ounce. Nathan.
Karen, the surge in coronavirus infections continues throughout the South. Arizona reported a record number of cases on the same day Vice President Mike Pence paid a visit to the state.
We say to the people of Arizona, we're with you. We're going to make sure that Arizona has whatever it takes to meet this moment.
Arizona registered nearly 5,000 new cases, plus increases in deaths and emergency room admissions. Pence is asking residents to take precautions.
Wear a mask when indicated by state or local authorities, or when social distancing is not possible.
Infections in Florida continue to rise, prompting Miami-Dade County to require masks in public. Beaches are closed in the county, but open in other parts of the state. Governor Ron DeSantis is pushing back against criticism of the move.
I'm more concerned about, you know, people crowding into the AC and having private parties and things like that where you're real close contact.
Daily infections also hit a record in Texas, where intensive care units in Houston have now exceeded capacity. For the first time, daily coronavirus cases passed 50,000 nationwide, the highest level yet in the pandemic.
The South isn't the only place seeing a surge. As cases in California rise, the state is shutting down indoor business in counties holding over 70% of the population. Ed Baxter has the latest from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Governor Gavin Newsom says Los Angeles County is included.
In restaurants, wineries, and tasting rooms, movie theaters, family entertainment, broadly defined, zoos, museums, and card rooms.
He also said the state is setting up what he calls enforcement strike teams made up of regulators which can act on businesses. He's also discouraging family 4th of July gatherings, saying extended families are among the fastest growing spread of the virus. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Ed. As the outbreak spreads, McDonald's is stopping dine-in services at all locations across the country. Apple had just reopened stores. Now it's closing them again. With more on that, here's Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The technology giant is closing several stores in the Los Angeles area, along with locations in Las Vegas, Alabama, Idaho, Oklahoma, Georgia, and Louisiana. It earlier shut stores in Florida, Mississippi, Texas, and Utah, bringing the total to 77. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. As business hits pause across the country, it raises questions about how relevant today's jobs data will be. We get the payrolls report for June about 3.5 hours from now. And here with a preview is Bloomberg economic correspondent Michael McKee.
The spike in COVID cases around the country has states and cities rolling back reopening plans, raising questions about how many people hired back in June will be unemployed again in July. The unemployment rate, meanwhile, will suffer from classification errors, either continued confusion about who is or isn't on payrolls, or because they've fixed the errors and the data don't line up with previous months. Political candidates will jump on any numbers that might suggest how fast the labor market is recovering, while the Black Lives Matter protests put a spotlight on minority unemployment rates. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Michael, thank you. And tune in for live coverage and analysis of that jobs data at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time, followed by an interview with White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow. Catch that conversation at 10 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
On the policy front, minutes from the latest Fed meeting show officials staying clear of yield curve control. For now, Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Yeah, Nathan, Fed officials did discuss setting targets for Treasury yields, but the minutes show they remain wary. The minutes also note a need for highly accommodative monetary policy for some time. Some officials expressed concern that low yields make their asset purchases less effective. Now, when it comes to the economy, policymakers expect consumer spending to rebound strongly in the second half. They also appear willing to push lawmakers for additional stimulus. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. And on the political front, the House has passed or unanimously passed a bill imposing sanctions on banks that do business with China. We get the details on the measure from Bloomberg's Selena Wang in Beijing.
This bill is similar but not identical to the measure passed by the Senate last week, which would impose sanctions on banks that do business with Chinese officials involved in cracking down on Hong Kong. But this bill does still need to be approved by the Senate again before going to President Trump for his signature. But that is expected to happen very soon. This move is in response to China enacting the national security law in Hong Kong, which goes beyond what many investors, democracy advocates, and even pro-Beijing politicians have expected. According to Bloomberg Intelligence, China's largest banks have some $1.1 trillion in dollar funding at stake and face potentially steep fines from the sanctions bill.
Bloomberg's Selena Wang reports this measure comes in addition to sanctions punishing China over human rights abuses. Those penalties had been delayed by the White House as officials negotiated their Phase 1 trade deal. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 21 points. Dow futures up 229. NASDAQ futures up 49. The euro at 1.1295 against the dollar. The yen is at 107.35. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get more now on how the New York City region is reacting to the spread of coronavirus. Here's Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. As the number of positive coronavirus cases in more than half of the country continues to rise, in New York State, Governor Andrew Cuomo says virus testing is open to all residents.
We're now expanding our testing criteria. We have so increased our testing capacity that we can expand our testing criteria.
He says it doesn't cost anything, it doesn't hurt, and he is urging all New Yorkers to get tested. There are now more than 750 testing sites throughout the state of New York. Indoor dining at New York City restaurants is on hold out of concern it would cause a spike in coronavirus infections. Mayor Bill de Blasio says there's still plenty of room for dining al fresco.
It is the time to double down on outdoor dining. And so far, we have 6,600 restaurants that have taken advantage of our Open Restaurants Initiative. I believe there are many more that could benefit from it.
De Blasio did say New Yorkers are free to hit the shoreline now.
Our New York City beaches open today.
Atlantic City's casinos will also open today. Gamblers will not be allowed to smoke, drink, or eat anything inside the casinos. They'll have to wear masks and have their temperatures checked. New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says residents can still easily undo all of the work toward curbing the spread of the coronavirus.
Everyone needs to be an example of personal responsibility. It isn't up to some of us to beat COVID-19. It's up to every single one of the 9 million of us.
New Jersey has also hit pause on reopening indoor dining. There has been a one-day uptick in coronavirus hospitalizations. President Trump said he would wear a mask if he were in a, quote, tight situation with people, but that he's not convinced they should be required, even as cases are spiking in parts of the country.
I have no problem with that. I think, and if people feel good about it, they should do it.
The president tells Fox Business that everyone around him is tested for coronavirus. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thanks. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashower.
Good morning, Nathan. That ugly baseball labor dispute that nearly prevented any season from being played created bad blood that could linger into negotiations for an actual collective bargaining agreement. The current one expires after next season, and this won't help. Commissioner Rob Manfred telling Dan Patrick's radio show that the owners were never going to agree to play more than the 60 games they are playing. That may come as news to the players, whose first proposal was for 114 games. For now, players back with their teams. Aaron Boone talked to the YES Network about precautions at Yankee camp.
We'll work closely with the guidelines, with trainers, with how we have to, you know, space guys out and work things out. We feel like we've got a pretty good plan in place. We know we're going to have to remain flexible as we go, as things change. But I do feel like we're ready to, you know, kick things off and hopefully make the most of the 3 weeks we have building up into the season.
Boone's Yankees were supposed to play a game this season in Iowa against the White Sox, so-called Field of Dreams game, but they aren't playing the White Sox, and they're not going to travel that far. So reportedly, the White Sox will instead face the Cardinals in Iowa on August 13th. They have built an 8,000-seat stadium for the game, but presumably fans will not be allowed in. Bill Cowher, the former Steelers coach, was to be inducted into the Hall of Fame next month. Those ceremonies put off until next year. Cowher has revealed that he and his wife both had the virus, had symptoms in March after a trip to New York, never got tested, but got a positive test for antibodies in April. The virus causing the NFL to do something that many have called for anyway, a reduction of the preseason, at least for this year, goes from 4 games down to 2. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
And John, please join us tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports, and we'll have a wide-ranging interview with the CEO of the Atlanta Hawks, Steve Koonin. Talk about getting back to basketball during the pandemic, plus the team turning its arena into Georgia's largest ever voting center this fall. Those are just some of the topics that will come up tomorrow at 7 and Saturday at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. You can also subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures are higher by 19 points ahead of the release of the jobs report and the weekly unemployment claims. Dow futures ahead by 225 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Part patchy fog will give way to partial sunshine today, going up to near 90. Could have some showers and thunderstorms tomorrow afternoon before a sunny and nice 4th of July. 70 degrees at the moment in New York.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are rising along with U.S. stock index futures as hopes for reassuring jobs data later in Washington adds to momentum from positive vaccine developments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 21 points. Dow futures up 233. NASDAQ futures up 52. The DAX in Germany is up 2%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd. Yield 0.67%. Yield on the 2-year 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 21 cents at $40.04 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3.80 at $17.83.70 an ounce. The euro 1.1296 against the dollar. British pound 1.2524 and the yen is at 107.38. Today we are watching for the June jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. We also get the weekly report on initial jobless claims as well as the trade balance. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45. Followed by factory orders and durable goods orders at 10. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, the surge in coronavirus infections continues across the South. Arizona reporting a record number of cases, plus increases in deaths and emergency room admissions. Daily infections hit a record in Texas, where intensive care units in Houston have now exceeded full capacity. Infections in Florida also on the rise, prompting Miami-Dade County to require masks in public. Pennsylvania is requiring masks, too. For the first time, daily coronavirus cases passed 50,000 nationwide. That is the highest level yet in the pandemic. Other news we're watching, House lawmakers have passed a bill imposing sanctions on banks that do business with Chinese officials involved in cracking down on pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. The measure could head to the president's desk as early as today. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thanks. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And we're joined now by Mark Vittner, senior economist at Wells Fargo, on an unusual jobs day. We get the weekly unemployment claims and the June payrolls report at the same time later this morning. Mark, good morning to you. I wonder how much weight we're going to put on these numbers, given the dial back in the reopenings we're seeing in much of the country, particularly in the South and West, with coronavirus continuing to spread.
That's a very good question, because I think that most folks are expecting the overall number to be up solidly. Our own forecast is for a net gain of 3.3 million, and we base that off the fact that from mid-May to mid-June, which is the period covered by the employment report, that there was more improvement in the economy than there was from mid-April to mid-May. And so we know that that number is going to be solid, but that we've really seen the economy slow the last couple of weeks. And that's something that the jobless claims number may tell us about, because it covers the period through June 27th. And most folks are looking for just some modest improvement, a decline of about 100,000 or so. If that number comes in, you know, if it comes in that it doesn't improve, or that it actually turns the other way, then I think it could actually outshine the employment report.
Could we see further distortion in the data? Of course, with the May payrolls report, we got a lot of people that were counted as still employed rather than temporarily laid off. Do you think that's going to get fixed this time around?
I don't think it's something that's necessarily going to be fixed, because I think that there's always distortions in the data. I think the unemployment rate's probably going to come down this month. And it's kind of hard to say. I don't know how I really feel about that distortion, because those folks actually still have their job. They were just, you know, not working at that time. And then sometimes when we got hurricanes, they would show up as being unemployed. In this particular instance, they didn't. I'm not worried about that distortion. I don't think it gave us a really. It deprived us of a super high unemployment rate, which, you know, thank goodness we didn't see, but I don't think it really gave us a distorted view of the labor market.
Where do you see the trend going when it comes to weekly jobless claims? We've had a pretty gradual downward trend. Do you see that continuing, particularly with the possibility of the Paycheck Protection Program being extended?
I think there's a risk that we could see a little bit of a rebound, not just because of the potential expiration of the payroll protection program. I think that there'll be some fixes there, but I'm more worried about just a pullback in engagement by businesses and consumers. And we saw a lot of lockdown orders go across California yesterday. We've got a report that we're working on there that, you know, looking at California, I mean, the numbers are just horrendous, particularly in Southern California. And Southern California accounts for about 5% of our U.S. GDP, but it accounts for almost 9% of U.S. GDP growth over the last 5 years. And so a lot of the places that are seeing this resurgence in the coronavirus are places that account for a disproportionate share of U.S. economic growth.
I want to get your take on the Fed minutes as well. A lot of discussion from policymakers about whether to be more forceful in calling for further fiscal stimulus. Do you see the Fed leaning that way, sort of blurring the line even further between monetary and fiscal policy?
Well, I think that they're trying to figure out a way to do this without blurring that line and being very specific and saying, these are the things that monetary policy can accomplish. These are the things that fiscal policy can accomplish. We're responsible for monetary policy. You're responsible for fiscal policy. And just basically laying it out in those terms. I don't think they want to get back into a position where they're promoting one type of action or another on the fiscal side.
Mm-hmm. In our last 30 seconds here, how do you think this latest jobs data could affect the Fed's decisions when it comes to forward guidance?
Well, I think that that we would have to see a more thorough improvement than we saw in May, and that not just the total number of jobs increasing, but we'd have to see a much broader-based recovery. I mean, really what we've seen is a huge drop in restaurant jobs and a partial rebound. We saw the same thing in healthcare, where the doctors and dentist offices all closed and a few of them reopened. And I think that's really what we're going to see here. Mm-hmm. I don't know how broad-based this is going to be, and we really want to see what the Fed needs to see is a self-reinforcing recovery. We don't see that yet.
All right, Mark Vintner, senior economist, Wells Fargo. The June jobs report and the weekly unemployment claims due out 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We will have full coverage here for you on Bloomberg Radio. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg 1130 weather calls for patchy sunshine later today, going up to near 90 degrees. Some showers and thunderstorms possible tomorrow afternoon, again going up to near 90. Partly sunny and low 80s for the 4th of July.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are gaining ahead of the monthly jobs report. And despite a surge in coronavirus infections, Arizona reported a record number of cases on the same day Vice President Mike Pence paid a visit to the state.
With cases rising dramatically, not just here in Maricopa County, but all across Arizona, we wanted to be here to get a report from the ground.
That report showed a daily jump of 5,000 new cases. Daily infections also hit a record in Texas, where intensive care units in Houston have now exceeded full capacity.
Now, the outbreak has California Governor Gavin Newsom shutting down some business operations.
We have specifically targeted our efforts to close indoor operations, and I want to reinforce this. Indoor operations.
That move will affect counties holding more than 70% of the state's population as cases in California rise. Still, President Trump expects the pandemic to fade. He spoke with Blake Berman on Fox Business.
I think that at some point that's going to sort of just disappear, I hope.
You still believe so? Disappear?
Well, I do. Yeah, sure, at some point. And I think we're going to have a vaccine very soon, too.
For the first time, daily coronavirus cases passed 50,000 nationwide. That's the highest level yet in the pandemic.
As fresh restrictions take effect, it raises questions about how relevant today's jobs data will be. Paul Krugman is Distinguished Professor of Economics at City University of New York.
Going to look good, but it's going to be in the rearview mirror, and it's going to be a dead cat bounce. And it's clear that the high frequency data and everything we're seeing says that we just hit a wall because of the spike in cases in the Sun Belt.
Tune in 3 hours from now for live coverage and analysis of the payrolls report, followed by an interview with White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow.
In the meantime, minutes from the latest Fed meeting show officials staying clear of yield curve control for now. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
And Nathan, central bankers seem opposed to caps on yields or targets anytime soon. Nearly all the participants had questions regarding the costs and benefits of yield curve control. They also appear ready to enhance forward guidance by tying future moves to inflation or unemployment. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are up 19 points this morning. Dow futures up 215. NASDAQ futures up 44. The 10-year Treasury, little change, yield 0.67%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 24 cents at $40.07 a barrel. The euro, 1.1291 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Okay, Karen, thanks. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get more details on the coronavirus surge. Here's Bloomberg's Amy Morris. Amy?
Nathan, we're seeing more positive coronavirus cases than ever each day in the U.S., and New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is making testing available now to all New York residents for free.
All New Yorkers can now go get a test.
But there are now
more than... What I'm saying to all New Yorkers today is, go get a test.
There are now more than 750 testing sites throughout the state of New York. Concerns about a resurgence of the virus in New York City has put a hold on indoor dining. Mayor Bill de Blasio says the infection spikes in places that have tried indoor dining as a deterrent.
We're going to work with the state of New York to figure out what is the exact right way to do this. How to postpone indoor dining till the right moment. What the approach would be to determine when it makes sense to go about it again.
De Blasio did say beaches are open just in time for the long Independence Day weekend.
We are ready for a great holiday weekend. The lifeguards are ready to go. New Yorkers can stay cool.
A one-day uptick in hospitalizations in New Jersey rang alarm bells for Governor Phil Murphy. In the past day, 45 people died from COVID-19.
We know we are going to keep having days where the numbers go up. The task for all of us is to make sure that those one-day increases don't turn into trends.
New Jersey has also delayed reopening indoor dining. Murphy says it's easy to become complacent.
No one, absolutely no one, especially our younger residents, can be lulled into complacency and think it's okay to crowd around bars without any regard for those around us. That is how we backslide. That's how we get pushed off our road back.
Atlantic City casinos reopened today with masks required and with temperature checks. No food, no beverages, no smoking. President Trump tells Fox Business that masks are fine if you want to wear one, but he doesn't believe they have to be required.
I'm all for masks. I think masks are good. I would wear, if I were in a group of people and I was close.
You would wear one.
Oh, I would. Oh, I have. I mean, people have seen me wearing one.
While he's pushed back against wearing a mask himself, he says he likes the way he looks in a mask. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Amy, thanks. 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here again, John Stashire.
Thanks, Nathan. Mets and Yankees have begun summer training. Players got tested yesterday. There'll be workouts this weekend. And Aaron Boone told the YES Network that before the July 23rd opening day, his team will be playing against each other.
It's going to be different than a normal spring training. We're going to, you know, put a lot of value on live reps, you know, pitchers facing hitters, hitters facing pitchers, getting live defensive reps, trying to build guys up as safely and as smartly as we can. But we are going to put a value on competition from pretty early on in camp.
Boone's Yankees appear healthy with Aaron Judge, Aaron Hicks, James Paxton, and Giancarlo Stanton all having pretty much recovered from injuries. Stanton expected to be used mostly as the DH at Mets camp. Yoenis Cespedes, remember him? He's only played 38 games since 2017, but after surgery on both heels, he could be the Mets DH. It's now the rule in both leagues. The Mets say Michael Conforto, who hurt his oblique in the spring, has recovered. And the Angels say Shohei Ohtani will be their DH when he's not pitching. He'll go back to doing both. Last season, he was just a hitter. The Mexican Baseball League, which has been around for nearly a century, was to start play next month, now canceling the season. NBA veteran Thabo Sefolosha of the Houston Rockets, the latest to choose not to play the restart of the NBA season. Lou Williams, the key member of the Clippers, was said to be wavering, but Coach Doc Rivers says he expects Williams to play. Denver Nuggets say All-Star Nikola Jokic feels great, recently tested positive. He and all NBA players arrive in Orlando next week. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
Thank you, John. It's 5:37 on Wall Street and time for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's Joan Doniger. Good morning, Joan.
Nathan, Manhattan home sales fell the most on record last quarter when New Yorkers were locked down during the worst of the city's experience with the pandemic. Miller Samuel and Douglas Elliman Real Estate say purchases of co-ops and condos fell 54% from a year earlier, the biggest year-over-year drop since the firm started keeping records. The median price of deals fell 18% year-over-year, too. That was the biggest drop since 2009. Restaurateurs across the city are largely understanding about pushing back the start of indoor dining. Some of the people who talked to Bloomberg said they weren't counting on it anyway. It's a matter of safety first, but others say it is a blow to the people they've started to hire back and staffs that will have to stay on unemployment. And the parent company of Northfield Bank is buying the parent company of Victory State Bank. Citibiz says the merger will expand Northfield's presence in Staten Island. Northfield also has 17 branches in New Jersey and 8 in Brooklyn. With the Tri-State Business Report, I'm Joan Doniger. Nathan?
All right, Joan, thanks. It's 5:38 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
Steve Poduskin on 1010 Winds in New York. We're talking about Manhattan home sales sinking in the second quarter, the most on record.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Americans face a 25% jump in power bills, adding to woes.
I'm Roger Hearing on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Britain's plans to allow up to 3 million people to move to the UK from Hong Kong.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that McDonald's is hitting the pause button on dining in as coronavirus cases rise in some parts of the country.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WGY in Albany, I'm reporting Kohl's is being accused of violating New York State's wage laws.
Those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. And some other stories we're following. JetBlue has agreed not to furlough any pilots involuntarily until next May. That's in exchange for unspecified contract concessions designed to help the carrier cut expenses. Airlines worldwide have been slashing costs and reducing operations in response to the near disappearance of demand. Novartis is ending almost a decade of litigation. It's agreeing to pay more than $670 million to resolve a whistleblower case that accused the drug maker of paying kickbacks to doctors who prescribed its medications. And Lemonade has raised nearly $320 million in its U.S. IPO. That is above the marketed range. It'll give the online home insurance provider a market value of $1.6 billion. Lemonade is backed by Japan's SoftBank Group. It begins trading today on the New York Stock Exchange. It is 5:40 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is online now with the cover on the King and the CEO, how LeBron James and business partner Maverick Carter are expanding their media empire at perhaps just the right moment. Terminal customers can receive a complimentary subscription at MAG Go. And listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly right here on Bloomberg Radio. Watch it on YouTube weekdays from 2 to 6 p.m. Wall Street time. Get global business, finance, and tech news on your TV, computer, or mobile device. Just visit YouTube.com and search Bloomberg Global News. Futures moving higher this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 1130 weather. Patchy fog gives way to partial sunshine today with a high near 90. We'll get up to around 90 tomorrow with showers and thunderstorms possible in the afternoon ahead of a partly sunny and cooler 4th of July. 70 degrees in New York.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks rising this morning along with U.S. stock index futures as hopes for reassuring jobs data later in Washington add to momentum from positive vaccine developments. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 18 points, Dow futures up 207, NASDAQ futures up 41. The DAX in Germany is up 1.8%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 0.67%. The yield on the 2-year, 0.16%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.6% or 23 cents at $40.05 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.2% or $3.70 at $1783.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1285 against the dollar, British pound 1.2518. And the yen 107.43. Today we are watching for the June jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. The report is being released a day early as markets will be closed tomorrow for the 4th of July holiday. We also get the weekly report on initial jobless claims as well as the trade balance. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index is out at 9:45, followed by factory orders and durable goods orders at 10. And copper is moving closer to wiping out this year's losses after the coronavirus pandemic started to curb output in the world's top producer. And as a rebound in Chinese demand picked up pace, prices in London on course for a seventh weekly gain, rallying 40% from a low in March as the virus brought the global economy to a standstill. Watching shares of Tesla up about 5% in early trading, Wedbush analyst Daniel Ives raising the target on Tesla to $1,250 a share from $1,000. He did maintain a neutral rating. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Karen, for the first time, daily coronavirus cases in the U.S. passed 50,000 nationwide. That is the highest level yet in the pandemic. And many of those caseloads are surging across the South. Arizona reported a record number of cases, plus increases in deaths and emergency room admissions. Daily infections also hit a record in Texas, where intensive care units in Houston have now exceeded full capacity. Infections in Florida also on the rise, prompting Miami-Dade County to require masks in public. And Pennsylvania will also now require masks. Other news we're watching, House lawmakers passed a bill imposing sanctions on banks doing business with Chinese officials involved in cracking down on pro-democracy protesters in Hong Kong. That measure could head to the president's desk as soon as today. And the defense authorization bill unanimously passed the House Armed Services Committee. It includes a provision that would rename military bases named for Confederate generals. President Trump has already threatened to veto the Senate's version of that bill. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Amy, thanks. It's just before 5:50 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As the coronavirus continues to set new records when it comes to daily infections and hospitalization rates in several states, hopes for a vaccine seem to be providing some optimism for investors. Shares of Pfizer rose 3% yesterday after an early trial of its vaccine candidate showed patients producing antibodies. Meantime, Dr. Anthony Fauci says the world will need multiple vaccines to tackle the virus. So let's get details and perspective now. Bloomberg News health editor John Lauerman joins us now. John, good morning. So how optimistic should we be really about these early results from Pfizer?
Good morning, Nathan. So there's a lot of news coming out now about new experimental vaccines. This Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine is one of actually four vaccines that those two companies are developing together. It's a vaccine. It's called an mRNA vaccine, and it's a new genetic technique of making a vaccine that's actually never been licensed before in people. The advantage of it is that you can actually put together this vaccine extremely quickly, get it into testing. And so it's good to see that it's worked. What it does is you introduce some genetic material into people's cells. The cells take that genetic material and actually make the proteins. These are proteins that are similar to those that are found on the outside of the virus. The immune system recognizes those, sets up an immune reaction, and when an actual infection occurs, the body's ready for it. So it's good that it's worked well. The great thing, this is a very small trial, only 45 people in it. The great thing is that it appeared to be safe, and they also found that the people who received the vaccine, those who received two doses, got a very nice immune response. Now, we don't know whether or not that's actually going to be protective yet. They haven't been challenged with actual infections, but it's good to see that they did get a strong antibody response. And so there's a lot of results coming out right now from various companies. Indovio released some results recently. But until we actually see some results in phase three, when these vaccines will be distributed to thousands of people around the world, literally, you know, tens of thousands of people around the world, will actually be able to see whether they're protected from infection, then we'll know whether we actually have something. And, of course, there was another little bit of information yesterday that was released late in the day or later in the day about the FDA's guidance on vaccine approvals, which makes it look like it's going to be a little bit tougher than perhaps companies had thought to get these vaccines approved for use, and might actually push the approval of vaccines and perhaps their distribution into next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the major challenge, isn't it, with the FDA coming out with that guidance that it would need to be at least 50% more effective than a placebo in order to win clearance. Does that hobble the timeline that we've heard from the likes of Dr. Fauci when he said in the past that he's aspirationally optimistic that we could see an effective vaccine by early next year?
Yeah, I think, you know, early next year, probably that may be something that that he included in his timeline, that kind of safety and testing. I think, you know, I'm located here in the UK. There's a company here, AstraZeneca PLC, that's working with Oxford University on a vaccine that they have been saying will be ready as early as September for use here in the UK and as early as October for delivery in the U.S. Now, it's not clear to me whether they have factored into their timeline this 6 months of safety testing that the FDA is talking about, and as well as this 50% efficacy standard. So, you know, we'll just have to see how all of that plays out. But it does look like we may be looking at a couple more months than we had planned on, or at least than we had optimistically thought might be the timeline for vaccine availability.
As you mentioned, you have vaccine candidates in the UK. We've got some in France, the US, of course. And Dr. Fauci, in that interview yesterday with BBC Radio, was saying we are going to need multiple vaccines to effectively stamp out the virus. How would that work exactly, particularly given the enormous challenge of scaling up vaccines to inoculate vast populations?
Yeah, my colleague James Payton here in the UK has actually written a bunch of good stories about this and had one over the past weekend about the reason why there are so many. So there's something like 140 COVID vaccines that are currently in some stage of either development or testing. There's a few out in the front that are actually getting to the final stages of trials right now. But there's many, many more behind them. And the reason for having all these different vaccines is that, first of all, we don't know how well the first rank will work. They may be quite good, but they may not perform all the functions that we expect out of a vaccine. For example, you know, we normally think of vaccines as preventing infection. These first rank of vaccines, we're not sure whether they'll actually prevent infection, but even if they stave off the worst of the symptoms of COVID, then it may be a good idea to get them into circulation, get them into use, so that we won't have people, you know, getting extremely sick, dying, filling up emergency rooms, ICUs, et cetera, you know, like we have in many countries, many states, actually, right now in the U.S. So, and then there's the issue of supply. If we have effective vaccines, we're going to need billions and billions of doses. It may not be possible to scale up all those doses at the same time. There's also issues of delivery. Some vaccines have to be kept at extremely low temperatures to be shipped around the world. We may need vaccines that are especially strong for elderly people who don't have strong immune systems like the young. So that's just a few of the issues, really, you know, kind of the top line, really, the issues why we would need multiple vaccines.
Yeah, a lot of challenges ahead, but certainly with the rapid developments we're seeing when it comes to creating a vaccine, reason for optimism among investors going forward here. Bloomberg News health editor John Lauerman, thank you so much for the debrief. Really appreciate it. And as always, you can get the very latest on the pandemic and the efforts toward finding a vaccine. Just go to Bloomberg.com/coronavirus or VRUS Go on the Bloomberg terminal for all the latest resources and developments. Ahead of the release of the June payrolls report and the weekly unemployment claims figures, futures are moving higher this morning, with S&P futures up 19 points, Dow futures ahead by 224, NASDAQ futures up 43 points. 10-year little change, the yield 0.67%, 2-year yield 0.16%. Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.